Well, how's everyone doing this morning? You doing good? Everyone awake and vibrant? Alive? Okay, alive is a good place to start. All right. Hey, this is like our 10th gray Sunday, isn't it? You know, we're rolling into fall. Seasons are changing. When seasons change, everything around you changes. And so it's good to see your faces here today. Those of you that are joining us online, thank you for inviting us into your homes. And my prayer is simply today that God will just deposit within our hearts an understanding about, we're talking about the armor of God, this series called Armed and Dangerous. We just called it that because there's nothing really dangerous about us, but it's the Spirit of God in us that when we're going through a spiritual battle and we've equipped ourselves, the enemy can't hang with that. And so we've talked about all the different pieces, six pieces, three that you're to have at all times, three that you're supposed to take up. We're supposed to have on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the feet of peace. That's our MO. That's how we're supposed to roll. That's how we're supposed to live life. And when the enemy comes in and starts to attack, you're going through a season, a spiritual battle, chaos ensues. That's when he says you take up the other three. You take up the shield of faith we talked about. He says you take up the helmet of salvation, which is about the mindsets, our thinking. If you want to hear any of those, you can go back on YouTube and hear all those. And then he says the last piece that we're to take up is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's what we're going to focus on today. Next week, we're going to cinch it all up together and kind of learn how to dress for success, if you will, in the spiritual realm. And I got thinking to myself, since we're talking about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, we're going to look at it. It's Ephesians chapter 6. And eventually I'm going to reference over to Matthew chapter 4 about a story that took place there. And I got thinking to myself, when it comes to the Word of God, what would it look like if we treated the Word of God like we treat our cell phones? Think about that. Now, I know it's a little bit different because, you know, when I was younger, everybody had a Bible, you know, and I'm kind of dating myself, but cell phones weren't around when I was younger. You carried an actual Bible, and now they've got Bible apps. You've got Bibles on your phone. You've got Bibles on your iPads, Bibles on your computer. They're all over the place. But I got thinking to myself, when it comes to the Word of God, what if we treated the Word of God like we treated our cell phones? I mean, you ever wonder what would happen if we carried it around wherever we went, the Word of God, that is? Had it in our pockets, had it in our purses. What if we flipped through it several times a day and stared at that thing and just looked at the Word of God? What if we turned, here's a good one. What if we turned around? Have you ever left home and you got about maybe 5-10 minutes away and go, oh, I left my cell phone at home. And you turned around to go get it because you had to have your cell phone. What if we treated the Word of God like that? What would our world look like? What if we gave it to kids as gifts? What if we used it when we traveled? What if we used it when we're in an emergency and we treated the Word of God like we treat our cell phone? You know, unlike our cell phone, when it comes to the Word of God, we don't have to worry about the Bible being disconnected because Jesus has already paid the price. And here's a bonus, no drop calls. He's got complete coverage. If we would tap into what the Word of God really is. And now, I'm not here today to insult our intelligence about the Word of God. But what I want to do is I want to dig a little deeper about the Word of God, why it's important, why it's necessary, and I'm going to share three words with you. In your bulletin, there's an outline, and really, I'm just giving you the first three ones because they're kind of tongue twisters. I don't want to confuse us, but the three words I'm going to give you today is graphe, logos, and rhema. I'll say it again. First one is graphe, second one is logos, third one is rhema. And if you're saying, how do you spell it? It'll be up here eventually. But the reason I'm telling you that is because it says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's just look at Word of God, and I'm use these three words, graphe, logos, and rhema. What does it mean when he says, take up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God? How do you take that up? What is that, and what does that mean? Because we've got to remember that in this battle that we live through life, we are not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. Can we agree on that? Okay, if you did not know that, you're not fighting for victory when you're in a battle. You're fighting from victory because Jesus has already, he's already been declared victorious. Well, if Jesus is victorious, why do I still have to go through these battles? There's all these questions that we have, but we know this, that when you do go through a battle, God has equipped us with the armor of God. So he says to us, stand firm. Stand firm. Three times he tells us to stand firm. Stand firm in the belt of truth, the righteousness, the peace. You get the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. And the sword of the Spirit is a very important piece of the armor, by the way, because I don't know if you noticed this. When I look at the Word of God, I see that the sword of the Spirit is it's the only offensive weapon that's in the arsenal. Think about it. A belt, I'm not going to go to battle whipping my belt around. That's not going to do it. My shield is defense, right? It's to protect me. My feet, I'm not going to be able to, maybe I can run away as fast as I want to, but you know, those aren't offensive weapons. But he says, but when it comes to the sword of the Spirit, he says, you take that up. And could it be that it's the only offensive weapon we have in our arsenal because it's the only weapon that we need? If we understand it for what it really is, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Back in the day, the Roman soldiers, when they would go to battle, they'd have typically two different swords. And they probably had more. You know, I didn't do a whole extensive study on it. But they would have a long sword that they would do battle with. But the long sword would be something you could swing when somebody's distant, right? If you had a long sword and you're coming at me, I can swing before you get too close. I can stab. I can, you know, whatever I need to do to defend myself. But that's not the sword that's being talked about in Ephesians here. When you take up the sword of the Spirit, when you look at the word and the meaning of the word, think of it as the best word to describe it when he says sword is, he says, take up the dagger. It's a dagger. It's like an 18-inch knife is what it would be. That's still a pretty big knife, right? You know, Crocodile Dundee fans, that's not a knife. This is a knife, right? And it's still a pretty big knife, but it's designed to fight up close and personal. It's when have you ever had the enemy just all up in your grill? He's just all up in your business, and no matter where you go, in your thoughts, and I'm struggling, I'm tempted, I'm really wrestling with this, no matter where I can go, what do I do? You take out your sword, not a long sword, but this sword of the Spirit, a dagger, like, because it's the dagger that cuts, it slices, it dices. And when you've had the enemy all up on you, you need to know what this sword is, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you need to know how to use it. See, in a general way, we know that the devil and his posse is always there, but sometimes they're completely just messing with you. They've confronted you, and you feel like it's your evil day. Remember, he said, in the evil day, take up. So, you know, we're going to face these days. You're under attack, and the attack is causing conflict. It's causing chaos. It's like somebody just is all up on you. And he says, that's when you take out the sword. He says, I'm going to give you the sword for your up close and personal battles, which indicates to me that they will come. Otherwise, he wouldn't need to give me a sword if he just took them all away, right? But he said, no, they will come. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Not only has he overcome the world, but he's given you a sword of the Spirit. He says that the sword of the Spirit will be able to deal with the enemy because the sword of the Spirit is truth. And the enemy, like Jack Nicholson, cannot handle the truth. He can't handle it. He has to flee from that. One of the reasons so many of us, possibly, maybe I should ask it in question format, could it be that so many of us at so many times feel like we're losing battles because instead of pulling out the sword, we're just going human on whatever situation we're facing and what we're going through? Could it be that we try to address what's going on in our life with what we think we should use instead of using the sword of the Spirit that God gives to us? You see, when you choose a man-made method, it's not gonna alleviate the pressure because this battle is in the invisible realm. It's in the invisible realm. So That's why the Bible says the wrath of man does not accomplish the purpose of God. It didn't work. He says, vengeance is what? Mine, says the Lord. He said, you leave that to me. He's not power tripping when he says it. He's saying, I've got my own approach. I've got my own method. I don't need yours. You need mine. That's what he's saying. Well, in the spiritual realm, the only tool that God uses is the dagger. And that dagger is needle sharp. It's because at times maybe we haven't believed in the power of the dagger, that we still face these battles or we're struggling. And so he says, this sword that I give to you as children, as sons and daughters, if you've asked Jesus into your heart and he is your Savior, then he says, then I give you the armor of God so that you can not only walk in truth, righteousness, and peace, but you'll know how, when the enemy comes, to take up your sword and use it. But what is this sword? Well, he says in the Bible, it is the word of God. He tells you, he tells me that the Spirit has a sword that has been, and he's given it to us so we can face these battles. But sometimes we feel like we're not worthy enough. We're not good enough. We're not smart enough. We're not whatever. You know, I remember years ago, I had a gray Dodge Ram truck. And I loved that truck, you know. And Drea at that time had just gotten her driver's license and she was learning how to drive. And I remember the day I tossed her the keys. She had to run somewhere, didn't have a car. I'm like, here. And I tossed her the keys and she was like, I can't drive your truck. You know, I don't want to drive your truck. I don't want to wreck anything, you know, and there was a sense of responsibility. There was a weight that was there. You see, that's not the kind of weight that God's giving to you or to me, but he's saying that I'm tossing you the keys, I'm giving you the sword so that you will know how to battle the enemy. It's not going to be about how much you know, how smart you are, how good you look. It's going to be about using the sword that he gives to you. I mean, he says, it is the word of God. That's why the word of God is so important. Oh, preachers always preach about the Bible, and we got to read our Bible, and it's good to read the Bible. Well, it is good to read the Bible, but why? Can anyone answer that? And I'm not asking you to right now, but why would anybody be encouraged to read the Word of God? Because there's a process that when we take that and we consume it and we allow it to transform us, then we will be able to understand what it means to use the sword. So I gave you three words, graphe, logos, and rhema. Now, when we talk about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, we're focusing on the word of God, there's three different meanings. So you've got to know what he's saying. You got to understand what he's saying when he says the word of God. If you have a foundation that's not built properly, let's say that your foundation, you're building a house and the foundation's crooked, everything you build on that crooked foundation is going to be off, isn't it? Yeah, anything you build on it. If you're looking for a definition to know what it means of the word of God when he says, use the sword of the Spirit, it is the word of God, we got to make sure we're defining it properly. And so one of the words that's used for the word of God is the word graphe, which means the written word of God. Now that's good. It's good to have the written word of God because we've got to be able to read it. But it's called graphe when it's written, when you have your Bible in your hand. If you're looking at your iPhone, iPad, if you're looking at the outline with the scripture, that's graphe. It's the written word of God. 2 Timothy says, all scripture is inspired. You could read it this way. All graphe scripture written there, it's inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. As you hold the book in your hand, the Bible, you're holding graphe. That's what you're doing. There's 66 books and the words make them up and the words that compose the Bible, that's the graphe, the written word of God. And God gives us a sword in Ephesians of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But the word being used in Ephesians is not graphe, word of God. It's not that one. When he talks about the use of the sword, the word of God, he's not talking about graphe. Because if that were the truth, then we'd be doing spiritual battle by reading scripture when we're going through. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, is there? No, there's nothing wrong with reading scripture. But when the enemy is attacking you, opening up your Bible and reading a scripture can be helpful, but it's not the sword that he's intended or has put in your hand or my hand to do the battle. Let me put it this way. Can we all agree that having a Bible or having the Word of God is good? Can we agree? Okay. Having one in your home, is that good? Is that all right? Okay. Having in your car, is that good? Okay, yeah. Having the Word of God, period. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But just because you have the Word of God, graphe, the written Word of God in your car, doesn't make your car any holier. Okay? Just because you have the Word of God, the Bible, opened up on your coffee table in your home doesn't mean that your home is any holier without it. It's good to have, but it's the graphe, is all he's saying. It's the written Word of God. Again, don't get me wrong. It's the Bible. It's the written Word of God. I'm just pointing out that in Ephesians chapter 6, he's not saying, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the written Word of God. That's not that he's just saying it's not, that's not it. The second word I gave you was logos. Logos, L-O-G-O-S, but pronounced logos. It is the message of the book, the understanding, if you will. Graphe is the written Word of God. So when I was younger, and still to this day, when I read the Word of God, has this ever happened to you? There's a Bible verse that you've read years ago, and when you read it, the Holy Spirit quickens something in your heart, and you're like, huh, I get it now, I understand it, that makes more sense. You know, when you read it, that was graphe, but when all of a sudden you went, oh man, I really see that now, that's logos, that's understand. Now you understand it. You've graduated from one to the other. And here's the interesting thing that I find. There can be a scripture that I have read in the past, and I get this understanding, and 3 years later, I can read the same passage, the exact same verse, and I can have more understanding in a different area or avenue of my life because the Holy Spirit breathes that in my life. He gives that to you. That's logos, when there's an understanding of what it is you just read. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word, there was the Word, there was the written Word, but there was also the understanding of the Word that was written. The logos, it goes further than the graphe. Graphe is written, logos is the message of the book, the content. So the Bible is the Bible simply because it's the Bible, it's the written Word of God. But there is an understanding that he wants us to get. And he's saying, don't get so caught up in the fact that you just have a Bible, but let it be something that you read so you can gain some understanding. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal things to you, but how is he going to do that if we don't get in and read the Bible? Now, you might be saying at this point, oh, great, now he's going to tell me to start reading my Bible. Now, I'm not here, I mean, I think it's great. I think you should. I think you can. I think you could. But he's not here to, oh, what's the word? There's no condemnation about, well, I got to check a box and I got to read so many verses a day. You do what you can when you can because the Holy Spirit wants you to get it into your heart. Hide it in your heart, yeah, so that you might not sin against thee, but also so that it can move to the logos and get some understanding. And you start going, ah, you ever have a aha moment? Aha, that's what it means. Now I get it. And the Holy Spirit reveals something to you. Now it becomes something much greater than just graphe, written Word of God. That's why you can go to a courthouse and put, if you're called in as a witness or whatever, or you watched it on TV, and you could put your hand on the Bible and say, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God? And they'll go, yep. What they said yep to is the graphe, the written Word of God, because they don't have one inkling of the logos. There's no meaning, depth, understanding. It's just, yeah, that's the Word of God. Somehow, as if they're saying, because I put my hand on this Bible, I'm not going to sin, or I'm not going to lie, or I'm not going to be perfect. You can put your hand on the graphe, but not care about the logos, the understanding, what it says. That's why you hear people, or you probably have heard it before, you know, did you do that? Did you steal that? Did you break that? No, I swear in a stack of Bibles. Like that somehow makes some kind of a difference. But they're not concerned about the message of the Bible. They're concerned about the book. Like somehow putting your hand on there automatically means you're telling the truth. Logos is the message that's given. And when you understand, then you graduate from the graphe to the logos. But the logos, that's not the word either that's being used in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. It doesn't say the sword of the Spirit, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the graphe, written word of God. It doesn't say take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Logos, the word of God. So at this point, you're saying, well, then would you please tell me what it is instead of what it isn't, right? What is it? Well, it's the last word that I gave you, which is number three, the Rhema word of God, R-H-E-M-A. This means utterance or words spoken or declared. You ever go to Sunday school and they teach you Bible verses and you memorize some scripture? Anyone ever memorize scripture? Anybody? Come on, please encourage my heart. Okay. I remember doing it and I used to think, oh, this is just, as a kid, you know, I'm like, I got to do this stuff every week. I'm a pastor's kid, so I have to go to Sunday school and I have to learn these verses. And then I became an adult and thought, you know, I don't have to worry about those anymore. But then all of a sudden, you start going through situations, life, battles. And all of a sudden, I started growing in my walk with Christ. And these scriptures I learned way back here started popping up. Why? Because I took the graphe word and I hid it in my heart. Now, it took years for me to learn how to tap into that. But here's the good news. You may say, I'm a new Christian or I've been a Christian for years, but I never really saw it this way. It's okay. It's the living word of God. It's not dead. Neither are you, which means it is active. It is alive. So this is the Rhema word of God we see in Ephesians chapter 6 when he says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema word of God. It's the spoken word of God. That's why it's good to learn Bible verses. Why? Because then, you know, we get a fluffier cloud in heaven. No, it's so that you can learn it in the graphe, so you understand it in the Logos. So when the battle is real, because come on, let's be honest. When you come to church and you listen to messages and you're doing podcasts, what you're wanting to know is what is in there that can help me out here in life. What is going on in the Word of God, and how can I figure it out so when the battle gets real, I don't have to get all religious. I can just say, my Bible said this, and this is as much as I understand. So I am going to stand on that promise, and I'm going to utter it. I'm going to speak it. There's many times, and I feel like an idiot every time I do it, and I usually do it alone. And I'm just telling you that because it's not about how you feel. It's not about how you feel. If I'm going through a difficult time, there's times I just walk around, I'm like, no, this is a spiritual thing that's going, this is a battle. And I'll walk in my office, and if some scriptures come to my mind or something, I'll just start speaking them. You know what? The one I always love was, greater is he that's within me than anything else in this world. What's going on inside of me? And I start speaking that to the enemy. You can't have this. You know what? I believe God's word, that he has a plan for me. He has a future and a hope. He doesn't want anything negative in my life. He's got a promise for me, and I received that promise in Jesus' name. I'm declaring that. I'm uttering that. That's Rhema word. When you're going through a difficult time, I'm not saying get uber religious and don't you dare go stand on the street corner and start shouting it out, okay? You get alone with God because your battle is not with the world. Your battle is not on the street corner. Your battle is not with your family and your neighbor necessarily. That battle is with what the enemy is bringing your way. And it belongs to the Lord, but he uses you in that process. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema word of God. Well, if you're at this place, you say, Pastor, I don't know many scriptures. So if you're telling me to Rhema this thing, I better go graphe it for a while. It's a good idea. It's a good idea. And in this world today, you got many ways to do it. There are so many podcasts that are out there. It doesn't have to be the religious, I got to be alone and volume of worship music's at 5, a comfortable 5, and the lights are dimmed and a candle is lit and since he's going, okay, I think Jesus can show up now. And then we find something that distracts us, right? It is the way it always happens. You don't have to do that. You can listen to a podcast while you're driving in the car, while you're taking a shower, while you're doing the dishes. You don't want to do it during church right now because you're getting it right now, okay? But you get what I'm saying. And you can take that in. Are you going to remember everything? No, you're not. I'm guessing, unless you got an eidetic memory. Because I don't remember everything, but I'll tell you what usually happens. I'll hear a few things, and the Holy Spirit will quicken that, and I'll be like, oh, I needed to hear that. Whoop, I just went to Logos. And I remember that. And then there's times when I'm in that battle, and Rhema is now not somehow I feel like Super Mario when he eats a mushroom and, you know, and I get bigger. It's I just remember the Logos word and I speak it. It's about the word of God. It's about his truth. So sorry if you don't know what Mario Kart is, but I played maybe one too many video games when I was younger. I don't think that's possible, to be honest with you, but anyway, Rhema, Word of God. It is the declaration of the Logos that you got from the Graphe. As a matter of fact, I put it in your outlines just so, because I know these are like, what's that word he said, Logos or something like that, or Remeda or something, whatever. Well, I put it in there for you. So in the blue in the middle, it says Graphe is the book, which is to lead to the Logos, which is the message, which is to lead to Rhema, which is the utterance. When you are going through an attack, based on the fact that you are functioning in truth, righteousness, and peace, take up your shield of faith. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Take up the helmet of salvation mindset. We talked about that last week. And then he says, and then pick up your sword. You and I, we have a sword that he has given to us. But we have to know what it means to rhema the word, speak it. You could literally own a Bible factory and not have a sword. You could produce millions and millions and millions of Bibles, but never know what it means to have the sword of the Spirit. He says the sword of the Spirit, it's used as a rhema word from God. Graphe gives you the Logos, but it's the rhema that plunges in and draws out blood. It's the one that you do battle with. When it comes to spiritual warfare and the enemy is up in your grill, you need more than the written word of God. Nothing wrong with it. It's good. But you need more than the Logos as well. You need the Rhema word of God. And you've got to cooperate with that. So when we get that functioning in our life, we find this to be true. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Up on the screen for you at home, it'll be on your TV. Let's go ahead and read that one together. You ready? Go. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Here's the good thing. Now, that ending right there is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's the one where I get squeamish, okay? And I'll explain why in just a moment. But he says the word of God is living. It's active. When you get the message, not the book, but when you get the living message and it becomes active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword and it's able to divide between soul and spirit. Why is that important? Because our soul is where our mind, will, and emotions are. And sometimes that gets in the way of what the Spirit of God is doing. But when we trust the Lord, he slices right between that and he says to me, Jim, that's you. That's how you feel. This is what I say. And he makes it clear. That's what the word of God does. Well, does it just come naturally? No, you kind of have to practice that. How do you do that? You spend time with God. You get in his word, you spend time with God. He said, though, this thing is so sharp, this word of God, this rhema word of God is so sharp that it can slice the invisible realm, which is important because where is our battle? The invisible realm. That's where our spiritual battle is. You see, sometimes we can get in the way, and God just wants us to get to this place where he can reveal to us what's going on in our hearts and in our lives. And when the battle is real, he wants us to know we don't have some kind of a fly swatter to do battle with. We have a sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema word of God. It is active, piercing, discerning, and able to judge the thoughts. Here's the problem. When I said that last part of the verse, here's the problem with the Logos, the understanding, when you understand it. It not only addresses what you do, but it addresses how you think. I don't like that. But he didn't ask my opinion when they wrote this. This goes deeper, which it should. And the reason I don't like it is because sometimes my thoughts are just that, my thoughts. Sometimes my thoughts, I know this is going to shock you, but sometimes my thoughts are selfish. Sometimes my thoughts are self-centered. Sometimes my thoughts are just not pretty. Let's say it that way. And that's when he comes in with the word of God and he says, Jim, he says, I'm going to separate so you know what's you and you know what's me. But you see, that only happens. It's not just about what we do. It's about our thoughts. It goes to the intent. It's not just about what you were thinking, but about why you were thinking what you were thinking. There's times when I've had a bad, how many of you know you can't necessarily stop a bad thought from coming into your mind, right? But you can stop it from staying there. Can't stop a bird from landing in your hair, is that how they say it? But you can stop it from building a nest, right? But there are times when God has spoken to me and I had a bad thought. And I went, oh, sorry, Lord, I released that to you. And God will go, why did you have that thought? Let's not talk about it. Let's move along, you know? And I go, no, I just want you, why do you think you were thinking that? Well, I don't know. I give them the teenage answer, right? I don't know. No, I really think you do. Now, in those moments when that does happen, it's not because God is, or Jesus is bringing any condemnation. There is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. But he will at times speak to you only for your benefit, for your good, to bring healing. There's times when the Lord said, why were you thinking that? And I said, I don't know. And he goes, I think you know. And he goes, I'm a pretty safe guy. Go ahead. And I say, well, Lord, I guess. And whatever it was, I present it to the Lord. And he kind of goes, there you go. Now, can I have that? And he'll take it. And it allows me to become better on the inside. You see, the Word of God, the Rhema Word of God, is God's MRI machine. It's his X-ray machine, so that he will take a picture so you can see what's going on inside of you that is not visible on the outside. Because if all you get is what you hear at church, all you did, and I'm not trying to talk it down, but all you did was you got the graphe, right? You read some verses. Maybe today, I hope, my goal is always when you leave here, you go, man, I never thought of it that way. Or that, you know, the Holy Spirit really spoke to me. Because that's then the logos, right? You know, now there's some understanding. And now you can take that and allow it to become rhema. He says that when the Word of God penetrates, it penetrates with power. And when you grab the message and accept it, you now have understanding. Then what happens? The sword of the Spirit becomes the rhema Word of God. You utter it. You speak it. You use that against the enemy because, once again, the enemy cannot handle the truth. When you pull out the Rhema Word of God, he can't handle it. So basically this morning, I'm encouraging you today to go Rhema on the enemy. Not in a cocky way, not with this self-righteous attitude of, man, devil, you better watch out because here I come. No, you with a humble heart say, based on the graphe, and don't you dare go Rhema without knowing what, you know, getting into the Word of God and understanding, because you'll get whipped. You'll get whipped. But when you spend time in the Word of God and you get some of that understanding, now you speak those words and you watch what God will do in your life. God used what he knew when he went through a difficult season in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 tells us about a time when he went through the temptations. You remember that? And he used the Word of God because it's the Word of God that stands true. The Word of Jim and the Word of put your name in there isn't going to do it. The enemy loves it when we start saying what we think and what we feel because he knows there's no power attached to that. We start saying, well, I think. Well, my opinion is. Well, my mama taught me this. Well, my daddy told me that. All my friends say. The enemy loves that kind of language because he knows there's no power attached to it. When it's the Word of Jim, it's like a letter opener that's dull on both sides, right? I'm probably just going to hurt myself and a few people close to me. But you see, the enemy loves it when we go out and find other opinion. We find out what Oprah says, what Dr. Phil says, what this group says, what that group says, what the news says and has to say. He loves that because he knows there's no power in that. But when you use the Rhema Word of God, he can't handle that. He says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema Word of God. So Matthew chapter 4, let me take you back there. Jesus, he finds himself. It says that if you read it, it says that he was led to the wilderness. Jesus, and that's a whole message right there. But he was led to the wilderness, and the enemy started to tempt him. And one of the first temptations Jesus had was that he was hungry. I'm going to ask you a question. Go ahead and answer. Is there anything wrong with being hungry? No. That is a basic human need. We need that. So the enemy met Jesus in his point of need, a legitimate need. And he said, listen, if you're the Son of God, why don't you just whip up an Applebee's or a Culver's? We can sit down, we can dine together, everything will be good. Jesus was hungry. And the enemy shows up with a specific feeding program that he offers to Jesus. You're the Son of God. You can do whatever you want to do. Why don't you turn these stones into bread, he said. Jesus said three words that were very powerful. Remember them? It is written. And the word, he's talking the Rhema Word of God. He was speaking the Rhema Word of God. It is written. Pow, there was one hit. Because the enemy can't handle that. And it got me thinking, and I've said this before, but if the living Word of God needed to use the written Word of God to deal with the enemy of the Word, then how much more do you and I, who have written no words, need to use the same Word against the enemy of the Word? If Jesus did it, what makes us think that we don't have to? Jesus had to do it. Jesus wouldn't go with the devil based on his thoughts. He went at him with the rhema Word of God. It is written. So Jesus in the New Testament, what he did was he reached back to Old Testament to a passage that dealt with the situation that he was currently facing in the New Testament. Jesus was hungry. The devil said, I got a feeding program. So Jesus goes and Googles Deuteronomy 8. You know, obviously he wasn't Googling, but you get my point. He goes back to that Word of God, Deuteronomy 8, and Israel is crossing the wilderness and they're hungry. And they need a feeding program. And it says that the children of Israel were hungry and they called out to God. And he rained down cornflakes from heaven. Right? It was manna, but, you know. God met their need of hunger through supernatural means. The devil was offering to solve the problem with satanic means. God is offering to solve it his way. The devil's offering it to solve it his way. Both were trying to address a legitimate need, right? The issue is not, is my need legitimate? The issue is, who is giving me the advice on how to address it? That's the issue. Who are you going to listen to? The enemy? Or are you going to listen to God? So Jesus, after he spoke all of that, the enemy took him to the top of a temple, said, jump off. You know, people know you're the Messiah. All of a sudden, you'll be better than Superman, Batman, and Spider-Man all rolled up into one. You will be the greatest Avenger that they have ever seen in their life. What did Jesus say? It is written, rhema word of God. And he hit the enemy with that. Then he was taken up to a high mountain. And the devil, notice this when you look at Matthew chapter 4. The devil took him. The next one, the devil took him. The next one, the devil took him. It amazes me that not only God allowed the devil to take him, but Jesus was willing to go. How could he do that? Because he knew the rhema word of God. And he had his complete faith. Sometimes you may feel like the enemy's leading you around by the nose, but when you know Jesus, he has gone before you and given you the victory already. And what he's wanting us to do, you might say, why then do I have to go through some of these wilderness experiences? Could it be that maybe he's trying to get us to that place of the rhema word of God? Using our sword of the Spirit. God didn't, by the way, just study the Bible and have a council meeting on what to do with the enemy through the three temptations. He just opened up his mouth and he said it. He spoke it. He uttered it. He said, devil, let me tell you what God just said about what you're telling me. And threw it right back at him. And when he told the devil this, it says that God must be into baseball because three strikes, you're out, all right? After the third temptation, it took off and it says angels came to minister to him. The devil left him. You may say, well, why doesn't he just ever leave me alone? Okay, I'm going to say this. This is where you got to watch your toes, okay? Everyone hear that? You ready? I'm just asking the question. That's all I'm doing. If you were to ever say, why doesn't the devil just leave me alone? Could it be because maybe he knows we're never going to say, it is written? Could it be that maybe he's not afraid and he keeps on attacking because he knows you're not going to use your sword? You're not going to use the word of God. You got better things to do. You're busier. You don't have time. And if you don't know the word of God and you don't understand the word of God, it doesn't become a rhema word of God. Now, having said that, if he knows you're not going to bring that, you're going to be so busy talking about family and you're going to be talking about the neighbors and you're going to be talking about TV. He knows you're never going to find to go out and find what is written. Or if you do, maybe he knows, well, you're not going to use it. In other words, what I'm trying to get across is you read the graphe so you can get your understanding from the logos so you can use the rhema word. I put a little bullet in there so it helps to understand. The word of God is not only to be read and not only to be understood, but it is to be used. It is to be used. When the word gets pushed down into the spiritual realm, then it's transforming. You and I, we have a sword. And we need to just learn how to use it. Well, Pastor, I thought I'd been doing pretty well with it. You probably are. Keep on doing it. You keep sharpening that. Oh, Pastor, I'm new to all of this, and I don't really understand it all. It's that you will gain understanding. Get into the Word of God. Let Him reveal things to you. But, well, Pastor, do I got to do like at least 8 weeks or 9 weeks before I can start speaking Rhema Word of God? No. His Word is very powerful, and you can speak truth. But we must make sure that we use our sword. It is so sharp. Yeah, I'll end with this. There was a old man. He was a lumberjack. But this guy was older, 85, 90 years old. And he showed up one day, and he was at a local tavern looking for the owner of a tree chopping company. And he found the guy who owned the business, and he said, "Hey, I want to work for you." To which the owner said, "How can you work for me? You're like 90 years old. You're old. You can't chop down these trees." And he said, "Well, put me through a test." He said, "Let me try to chop down some trees." And the old man took that, he went to work at it, and he started chopping down trees quicker than any of the younger men that were out there. So when the foreman saw that, man, his jaw just dropped. He said, "How in the world were you able to do that? Where did you learn to chop down all those trees?" And the old man said, "Have you ever heard of the Sahara Forest?" And he said, "No, I thought it was the Sahara Desert." He said, "That's what they used to call it." What's my point? When you start using the sword of the Spirit, this is going to sound very deep. You can really chop some stuff down. You can really chop some stuff down. Whatever that stuff is in your life, when you address it with the Rhema Word of God, you will see mountains move. When you got the sword of the Spirit, I don't care how old you are, I don't care what job you've got, you can chop some stuff down that's been lingering in your life for a long time. You just need to know who you are and what you have in your hand. Don't waste the Rhema Word while you're learning the Logos Word that you got from the Graphe book, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray today that as you have spoken to our very hearts and to our spirits, Lord, we want that kind of an understanding. That's not just about words in a book, but it is about your Holy Spirit that is alive within our very hearts. Today, I pray, Father, that whatever darkness we're going through, whatever challenges we're facing, that, Lord God, we would get beyond ourselves and that it not just become about just the written word, but that it would become understanding. And that as we start to understand that, Lord God, we would realize the power that we have in our hand, that Rhema Word of God. We ask in your name. Amen, church.